You're listening to the More Time, More Profit podcast, the best place for entrepreneurs who are looking to grow past the startup phase of their business, but still need to learn how to free up more time to drive more profit. Now, to present these real strategies, your successful business coaches and hosts, Adam John and Grant Muriel.
Welcome to More Time, More Profit, episode number 17. Today's show is titled Six Pillars to Hiring Star Employees. My name is Adam John. As always, I'm joined by Mr. Grant Muriel. What's going on, Grant?
Not too much, mate. It's a bit of celebration this week, heading out of the freezing cold Melbourne, Australia weather and going back to the Philippines. Going to go see the team and relax a little bit, hopefully. And if it goes my way, I think I'll be there over the Christmas break, which means I'll actually get a couple of months of Philippines into me. The second thing is, actually, we've just hit 39 different countries. So a bit of gratitude for the day is thanks a million to everyone who's jumping on, listening, sharing it with their friends. I actually caught up with some people on the weekend and they were just talking about how they loved the new episodes and how they were giving it across to their friends. So 39 countries to me is quite an achievement. What about yourself, mate?
Absolutely. I can tell that we're reaching more and more people. Some of the feedback that's come back is awesome. It just blows my mind how you'll be having a conversation with somebody and then, you know, they'll mention something from the podcast. And you're like, you would only know that if you're a listener. So thank you very much, guys, for that one.
Exactly.
So today we're talking about hiring star employees. Hiring star employees is the process of hiring new staff so that you can scale and grow your business, leveraging your time and ensuring the consistency in the workforce. Every listener in today's show will need to hire staff in their business at some stage. And if you get it wrong, you can waste a lot of time and money. Hiring star employees ensures that you get the best man for the job, you get someone who fits your company culture, someone who is motivated, and someone who is thinking long term. Essentially, as a business owner, you want to think long term, and your goal should be understanding hiring, then step out of your recruiting role, and then letting your recruiting machine take over. If you don't pay attention to recruiting properly, you'll waste your time training the wrong person, waste money advertising, there'll be loss of productivity, not only with the new employee, but the team around them, pretty much everything that we try and counter here at More Time, More Profit. So here's a bit of an example. Let's look at your favorite football team trying to win a championship. They don't just put an ad online saying we're looking for three new players and these are the positions we're after. If they did, they'd probably finish bottom of the table every single year. What do? They have scouts that go out and scout people. They poach players from other teams. They run tryout days. They have preseason camps. They find if someone has a big ego, someone who might try and harm the team culture. So they might be a bit of a superstar, but they might not play well with others. This happens in business a lot. And they do background checks to make sure that a new player won't embarrass their brand. They pay attention to every single little detail to ensure the future success of the team. It's not just finding someone to fill a job just because they have good skills. It's an overall fit for the company. In today's episode, we'll take you through the six pillars of hiring a star employee so your team can win a championship for you.
No, and I agree with absolutely everything that you just referenced. It's one of those things where it's applicable to so many different scenarios in the world, from sports to business to anything, where if you just wait for people to come to you, you're only going to get the bottom of the litter. But if you actually go out and start trying to find the key people you want, you might not get them at that point. But when they're looking for a new position, who are they going to come across and start asking and knocking on the door saying, hey, do you have a job available? Or at least look at the website to see if anything's coming up before they jump ship of their current company. Before we jump into it, if you have any questions or feedback during the show, it's going to be quite a heavy topic. Jump onto the Facebook group by searching More Time, More Profit group, or go to the website www.moretimemoreprofit.com and ask any questions that you have over this episode.
Absolutely. Grant, you want to take us through the six pillars of hiring star employees?
Sure can, buddy. So as we always talk about it, you can't have a business that relies entirely on star employees only. However, ensuring the business is almost completely made up of star employees is the key to having them drive to your business's success. So usually people will have one star employee. We're going to try and tip the tables and have everyone as a star employee, meaning that if one of them leaves, that's fine because we've still got a lot of others. So now we're going to run through the six pillars to hiring star employees. So step one is understanding the role responsibilities they're going to have. Part two is marketing for that role. Then three, we want to start filtering the candidates. Four, we want to do a face-to-face interview with those candidates. Five, we want to review and call the references. And the sixth point is we want to do the final interview or give them a job offer. So in a little bit more detail, part one is role responsibilities. So this is exactly what the individual will be doing in their role. What's their job description? What are the KPIs, both baseline and incentive? What are the tasks that they're going to be doing recurringly? So responsibilities and accountabilities. What does the success of the position look like overall for the business? And what's the business's outcome in the next couple of years from this role? Usually people hire for a role with a 3-month outlook, but we're talking about a couple of year outlook. Is that position still going to be in existence? Part two is marketing for the role. So some of the biggest companies like Slack, Atlassian, Amazon, etc., use their marketing teams to help promote their available positions internally. This ensures that they get the best talent available, even if they're not looking for a job. So some marketing strategies that they all employ is doing paid Facebook ads. They prospect on LinkedIn. They run meetup events to actually pull in this talent. They run paid banner advertising. They use headhunters, etc., where typically most businesses only start posting on job sites such as Seek, Craigslist, etc., or they might post a job to a local Facebook group or a LinkedIn group, or they might just appoint a recruiter and think that that's it. So we're talking about marketing for a role in quite a lengthy undertaking. Part three is candidate filtering. So we always want to suggest to get at least 50 resumes before you start filtering down. Some business owners that we know get 300 applicants to every single job that they post, which means they just get the pick of the litter every single time. So you want to filter through all of the resumes to get them down to about 10 or 15. So it's going to be an 80% culling process. Get each applicant to do a 1-part question and 1-part practical test after you've got them down to a 10 or 15 status. So if at all possible, get them into your office or do it virtually is okay. And by the end of this filtering phase, you basically want to take it from 50 resumes down to about 3 or 5 applicants. Once you've filtered it down to those 3 or 5, you want to go on to step 4, which is the face-to-face interview, and it's the most critical step in the framework. All candidates have an interviewing facade, and as a business owner, we need to break this facade down. So we want to meet them in our office to show how good our company is, but then we want to go and put them in a relaxing situation for them, because we want to sit with them, make them feel comfortable, so that their facade of being the best and the number one hire just gets broken down, and they start showing their true selves so that we can see if they're actually a fit for our culture. After these interviews, we'll also ask them the questions that relate to the position and make sure that their test matches one for one with what they were talking about. And we want to start filtering our applicants down. So the fifth part is reviews and references. So we want to filter them down to about 2 or 3. We want to do this by reviewing who was the best interviewer, who answered the test questions the best, and who was actually going to be the better fit for the company. Once we have it down to 2 or 3, we want to check their references, we want to finalize their answers, we want to deep dive into our culture and make sure that we've got a list in hierarchy order of who we want in the team and who we don't. And then finally, we do want to give them a job offer or bring them into a final interview. So if there are 2 candidates, bring them in and interview them again just to try and find that one that you really want and then give them an offer. So do this via SMS, email and phone to ensure that you always catch them and put a deadline on it just so that they know they need to take an action. So you can't cut parts out of this framework like you can in other steps because it is vital to the hiring process. If you miss a part, you're just going to fail across the entire thing.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's awesome. And this works if you're hiring your first employee or you're hiring your 100th employee. The system is really sound and you can go through it, whether you go a recruiting machine or you're a one-man band. So that's fantastic. If you want the show notes from today's show, go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/017 for episode 17.
We'll be right back after a message from our sponsors on the More Time, More Profit podcast.
Hey, Adam, buddy boy. Look, I've heard you guys consistently mention leveraging outsourced staff, and I'm definitely keen to try it out. And I know More Time, More Profit has over 20 years experience in outsourcing and 8 years experience living in the Philippines. And so you are the guys to ask. So, can you point me in the right direction with regards to filling some full-time positions in my company?
Yeah, you are correct, and I do get this a lot. What real problems are you trying to solve?
Let me tell you. Well, I need to grow my team to cater to the ever-growing client base that we have. I also want cheap staff to drive better profit. And most importantly, I need people who already have a great skill set so that I can get some of my most important time back.
Okay, so outsourcing is cheaper and it allows you to scale very quickly. It covers jobs like web design, administration, development, writing, finance and bookkeeping, marketing, social media and SEO, just to name a few, but have you thought about the potential problems with your staff?
Mate, sounds like everything I need. But you mentioned other potential problems? Like what?
Let's consider your IP walking out the door. What about data security? And what about the reliability of your staff?
Hells no, man. But now that you mention it, what about fast internet, payroll, benefits, employment contracts, etc.?
Don't worry about it, buddy. Have I got a solution for you?
All right, let me have it.
Look, as you're a trusted listener to the show, I'm happy to introduce you into our network. We partner with the fastest growing outsource agency in the Philippines, and their security is better than Fort Knox. They're the only company I trust to look after my network, and they'll give you the same Red Cartman VIP treatment that they give to us.
Nice. But honestly, I'm a bit worried about signing up and just getting dumped with some individual or even someone else's rubbish.
Once again, don't worry about it. There's no problems. You get as many interviews as you want to find the right person to fit the right role for you. You can hire someone from as little as 20 hours a week. And if you inquire today, More Time, More Profit will cover the first week for free. Just go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/VA to find out more.
No way. The first week free. But honestly, bit of a nervous Nelly, and I'm still concerned, is there going to be across the other side of the world?
Look, don't worry about it. For yourself and anyone else in our network, the More Time, More Profit office is located in the same city as our partner. If there are any issues that need escalation, we're more than happy to go in and represent you.
Wowza, you'd actually use your team to help me out if I really need it? You do have faith in their ability. Look, what is that website address again?
Just go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/VA and get started today.
Thanks, man. I'm going to jump onto it now.
Back to the show. The More Time, More Profit podcast.
Welcome back, everyone. Look, let's just jump straight into it. Adam, do you have an example of your hiring a star employee process?
Absolutely, I do. And I've had many businesses, and my philosophy in every business is pretty simple. I like to learn every part of my business, and then you give it to a specialist to take over. So you learn the accounting department, and then you hand it off. You know, there's nothing worse than coming in. I know people in other companies, they're just like, I don't want to know about accounting, I don't want about recruiting. And then 6 months down the track, they find out that someone's stolen from them or something along those lines. So it's really important that you understand every part of your business, but not only just take ownership over that, but actually once you understand it, palm it off as well. In the early days of a startup, you might have enough money to do expensive recruitment costs, so you might need to roll up your sleeves and actually go from the very beginning. This framework works for client-facing and back-end staff as well, which is fantastic. I'll note that historically with client-facing roles such as sales and account managers, I've tracked and recruited people over time. So if someone comes on my radar, it might be 6 to 12 months before I hire that person, and when a position comes up in my company, I'll strike. I've worked at large sales companies previously, so it makes sense to monitor them, see what they're doing, and I can take my top performance from there, especially if I have a great relationship from them prior. I'm going to keep an eye on people rather than just posting on a job board, and it's just so much easier of a hire for me. For this example, I just chose a simple role. I've hired hundreds of people, and I've just chosen a simple copywriter. My first ever hire as a copywriter, I want him to write articles, but I also want him to come in and be able to manage and build a team for my marketing team as well, so he's got a bit of growth there. So we look at point one, which is role responsibilities. What I do is I write the job description, and I need to write a clear indication of what's in my mind and what I want them to do. Now, personally, I hate writing job descriptions, so I'll just go to major websites, which is Seek in Australia, Monster in the US, JobStreet in Asia. I'll find a great listing on there, and then I'll just rip that one. And then what I'll do is I'll write down my KPIs and just sprinkle them through. There's nothing worse than for me having to sit down and write an article. That's why I'm hiring a copywriter to begin with, and it's even worse for me to sit down and write a job description because it's all fluff, airy-fairy stuff anyway. So I'll just go take the best one I can find and just modify it a little bit.
I do exactly the same, but I usually get two or three and just merge them together.
Absolutely, absolutely. Just take one paragraph from each and just put it in there.
Yeah.
Interestingly enough, for this role, I didn't know that much about KPIs for copywriters, but I've worked with freelancers previously, so I knew what they could be delivered, and I just worked that into the actual job description, which was very, very easy. So if you don't really know, it's a first hire or you're building a new department, you can ask people around in your network, you can ask people in those specific industries, you know, how many articles can they write a day? You might be sitting there saying, well, I want this guy to write 5 articles a day, but when you hire a freelancer, he can deliver 2 articles a day. So you probably just say, look, your KPIs for each day are 2 articles. And also I want to ensure that this person has manager qualities. So I put words like career growth, management possibilities, everything like that into the job description. Very simple stuff. Point number two, we're looking at marketing the role. At the time this position was advertised, I dealt with the recruiter. I love a recruiter because she had a big database of people. I could just say, this is what I want, give the job description. I got a great rate offer, and I just made sure that she replaced staff after 3 months if it didn't work out. So if I hired someone, I paid a big recruiting fee, I would ensure that if they left after 2.5 months, that they would be replaced free of charge. This made sure that she'd done her job properly, and it made sure that I got the quality of staff and there wasn't a lot of downtime. I use Recruiter basically because it's on budget, which allowed me to do more important tasks, especially when we're scaling the business so far. So if I've got to hire 20 people within a month, I can't be sitting there as a one-man band trying to go out there, post on these job sites, and do all the interviews and everything myself.
See, I've used recruiters before, and I haven't had as great a success as it sounds like you have. So you've self-recruited, you've used an agency. When do you think that you should transition between the two? So should I always default to a recruiter or do it in-house?
Yeah, I think you really have to crunch the numbers on it. So if you're a solo business owner out there, and let's say you're a personal trainer and you're looking for your first PA, just do it yourself. Once you get to a mid-sized business, you probably start using a recruiter. And then when you get to a larger business, you bring it in-house. So you just crunch the numbers off it. If you're going for a professional recruiter and the costs are $5K per hire, you know, what's the crossover point where it becomes cheaper to bring it in-house? Is it 8 staff? Is it 12 staff? So you just crunch those numbers and you just go through that progression. But I'm a big fan of starting myself, especially when your business is small. Bring it up to the mid-size level using a recruiter and then get the recruiter out of the picture and just do it all in-house because it's a lot cheaper once that's done and you have a lot more power over it.
Awesome.
Yeah. Point number three, we'll look at candidate filtering. I let the recruiter do all of this for me personally. I know that you use an example where you do it yourself later, so I use the recruiter example, and I'll get her to do all the due diligence and just send me the best resumes through. I don't want 300 people contacting my inbox or anything like that. I've got a lot better things to do with my time, so that all goes through to her, and I'll also set out a test for her that she sends out to all the candidates to send her a resume, and it is literally I just make up a fictitious company and I'd ask them to write 500 words in sales copy. So what I do is I get the very best resumes to come through and I actually get a sample to see how good they are. And it's really important, I think, to test anyone that comes through. So you might be able to think of a fun little test that you can do in your business that will sniff out anyone who's just going online and just trying to copy and paste ideas.
Yeah, for me, that's been a huge trigger point. I used to ask like multiple choice questions when I was looking specifically for developers, but actually changing it to a practical test. So for developers, I actually get them to write a little script. Content writers, you get them to write a bit of sales copy. Sales people, you get them to write a proposal, etc. You can actually see how they will operate within your business because this is going to be their number one time to shine. Be the most important item they've ever written or submitted to ensure that they get the position that they're just gunning for.
Yeah, it has bit me in the butt a couple of times when I'm hiring an SEO manager or something. I'm like, go write a whole marketing plan for this company. And I get a marketing plan and it looked fantastic. And then I'd interview them in the interview and I'd realize that they just copied and pasted everything from all over the internet. The other thing I did with the copywriter is I looked at their personal blogs to gauge their level. I found a lot of people were submitting published work from newspapers and it was fantastic, but that had also been through an editor. So when they had their personal blogs, they didn't actually use editors on there or proofreaders or anything like that. So I got to gauge how good their work was. Point number four, we're looking at reviews and reference. Now, this is something I was very slack with in my earlier hires and it cost me. I had 2 stolen laptops in 2 different offices in 2 different companies all within 2 weeks of each other and it just made me hate the world. And what I should have done is I should have dived deeper into a reference check. And to be honest, the recruiter probably should have done this as well. And I know it sounds like a little bit extra work, but the fallout can be really costly. You can have stolen equipment, and it really comes down to loss of productivity. Point number five, the face-to-face interview. Now, this is where I really shine, and this is where I take over from the recruiter. The recruiter can't help me anything more. They're going to put the people in the room for me, and I'm going to give them a really good grilling. I have a specific set of questions I use, and I use a scorecard based on their answers to tally it up. Grant, I know that you'll mention a resource later that will help everyone with this. We could do a 5-hour podcast on interviews alone, but here are some small tips that I've come up with. Be sure to take notes. Create a scorecard. The problem with interviews is there are long days. Once you get to the third interview, you'll forget all about the first person. So when you can reflect on all the resumes, just make sure you do a little tally of scores, 9 out of 10, 10 out of 10, and you'll be able to go through them and get some clarity over that. If the interview isn't going well, I just end it prematurely. I used to sit there for an hour and just go through it. I don't want to crush their dreams or anything. I just want to let them know that the interview is completed and I have everything I need to know. I don't want to waste their time and I sure as hell don't want to waste my time in this process.
So you're a bit nicer, see. I have walked out of an interview before and I was the guy interviewing someone else.
Yeah, I have done it. I don't make it a point to do it. I don't want to crush anyone's dreams or anything like that. I just, you know, if they're really arrogant or something like that, I'll give them an absolute hiding and let them know that they'll never work for me. But just generally, if they're not up to scratch, you know, I've had people come to me, apply for a management position, and they've been really great. And I said, everything is perfect, but you just don't have enough experience. I'm going to call you in 6 months. I'm going to hire a manager, and then you can come in as a junior. And I've absolutely done that. And they've worked their way through to a management role as well. So, you know, don't need to burn them off, but there are some people that you'll come across that's never going to work for you anyway. So have a bit of fun with it. I don't care. Sometimes those interview days are long and lonely. So anything you can do to pep yourself up a little bit, that's fine.
Yeah, mine was at the end of the day, so...
Yeah, they're very long days, man. They're very long days, and it's pretty crazy. That leads to point number six, the final interview and job offer. What I'll do is I'll narrow it down to two candidates. Based on the scorecard, I'll bring them in for a final interview. 9 times out of 10, I'll know exactly which person I'm going to hire. I'll schedule the best person last, and then I'll just ask them a few more questions, just to have a bit of clarity over it. And as I said, 9 times out of 10, I'll hire the second person. And that's pretty much the process. And the funny story about this job is I got an absolute superstar that worked their way up from just being a copywriter, took over our whole team, and the final two candidates were actually a brother and sister who made the final interview. So I had to give it to one person over the other, so that would have been fun at family dinner.
Yeah, you didn't end up hiring the other one?
Well, I can only give one role. So we had a more experienced senior person, which was the big sister, yep, with the little brother, and she actually worked at National Geographic, and I wanted her really bad, and we did the written tests, and he's actually come back better. So I said, look, your work is better, we want you, and we took him on, so power to him.
And the family never talked again.
They're still very close. They support each other, luckily.
Love it.
So that's my story. Grant, can you take us through how you use the MTMP, six pillars to hiring a star employee, to find some of your key employees?
Definitely can. So look, similar to you, I've hired a lot of people across almost the last decade, I think. All started off with hiring anyone that would respond to me positively. Then over time, I started making it less rush and an actual detailed decision. And now I'm willing to invest kind of 2 or 3 rounds of failed interviews just to find a superstar. I know they're really rare. So before I get into a story, I will say that I've seen businesses spend thousands of dollars just to find the right employee, similar to what you've referenced before, Adam. As it ensures that the business will always be the best, hiring one bad team member can leave you with someone who will never leave, or you can't get rid of them yourself. So it's pretty hard to fire someone, especially after the first 3 to 6 months. And it can actually cost you 3 to 4 times more than the original investment of doing some proper marketing for each individual candidate. Jumping into it right now, part one, I'm going to be focusing on someone that I've hired for a development position. Full-time, he's an absolute gun superstar, and I'll walk through the exact process that I did. Part one was roles and responsibilities. So I was looking for a superstar developer. We wrote out the job description, which was detailing who they will be working with, the outcome of the company, and how valuable the position is, including our core values. We then talked about their recurring responsibilities and accountabilities, so outlining what they'll be doing day to day and what they're going to be accountable for and responsible for. We also outlined the exact baseline KPIs that they're going to be needing to hit each week, each month, each quarter, and we're very transparent with that. And in the interviews, we talk about the incentives and things like that. From there, we always outline what the success of the position looks like. We don't document it on any websites, but we talk to it in interviews, where his job was to completely rewrite particular sections of a piece of software that we had over 6 to 9 months, where upon successful completion, he'll become a part of the entire team who is accountable for that section of the website. In addition to that, we also evaluated the internal business outcome. For us, it was to decrease the amount of manual effort that had to go into that part of the system whilst increasing the quality from it. And that was going to be a position that was around for about 3 years.
So for your job, I mean, you're not a developer, but I know that you understand developers. Were you able to sit down and write out exactly everything you wanted him to do day in, day out? Or were there some things that you weren't sure about that you would ask him what he could do to deliver in the interviews?
Yeah, awesome question. So I did 3 approaches. So I first went to the project manager and the product owner and said, guys, what do you need? How are you going to get this? This is what I want you to drive. And they said, this is what we need. I then went and scoured all of the other job listing websites and went and found people for a similar position to find out what they were delivering to. And this is before I knew I needed the job filled. And then I started looking online, started finding people who already had the problem that we had in our system and how they'd solved it. And so once I brought all those 3 together, I had a clear understanding of what the KPIs had to be. I had a clear understanding of the type of individual that I needed and the job that they were going to be doing day to day.
I think that's really core, especially if you're trying to build a new department. And as I said, I wasn't much of a copywriter, but I could actually go and find out a rough job description of what I wanted. A lot of people would just sit down and say, oh, that's really good. I can get a copywriter and just sit them down at a computer and say, just write and just tell me what you can deliver. So it's nice to have that structure. And if you know anything about how we deal with our KPIs, a baseline and incentives, it's really important to know that prior to employing them.
Critical. So step 2 was marketing for the roles. So this was probably one of our larger marketing campaigns that we did for any position. Step one was after we posted it up on our website, we went and did a heap of paid advertising on Facebook to be displayed everywhere from about a 20-kilometer radius around the city. For anyone who had the skill sets, the current position was the same, or liked a group that was relevant to the role. We also got involved with Facebook groups, so not just posting one or two, we genuinely got involved in commenting, looking through their past posts, looking through all these different things throughout the entire country to find individuals who had these skill sets as well and really rise to the top on exposure across everything. We also posted on 6 different job listing websites, both paid and free, where we used to post to about 2 or 3. We also did a manual prospecting on LinkedIn to headhunt various individuals who are currently working in the same kind of position. We both either wanted them or them to introduce us to somebody else. So if they weren't available, we can usually ask them if they know anyone. We implemented Google banner ads for people who were searching and looking at pages around the internet for jobs and positions and employment around that particular type of role. We also requested all of our team members in the company to ask if they knew anybody. And then we posted it most critically on the business's website because a lot of people know the brand. And so when they come and look at the brand, they can actually see a job that's available where they might go and reference a family member or a friend who would be perfect for that position.
Isn't it amazing how far recruiting has come in the last 10 years with things like headhunting on LinkedIn and just going onto a Facebook group that you're a part of and saying, I need this person for this role. Can you recommend anyone? I could only imagine being a recruiter and not getting with the times. So I just find it fascinating.
Yeah. Recruiters is just this one system where most of them always have one approach where they just get people to send them this resumes because they've got a great Facebook group or they've got a really good LinkedIn strategy, but they really struggle with having a lot of them together. So those businesses that only have one are starting to flounder out. Part 3 is candidate filtering. So we got a lot of resumes. I can't even remember how many there were, but we automatically filtered out anyone who's a fresh graduate or people who never had previous experience. So we were just deleting them all, just bam, bam, bam. Left us with about 25 resumes, which is below what we suggest, but we had filtered out a truckload before that. Next, we filtered on skill set, the amount of years experience they had, the length of their previous employment. We didn't want a job hopper, their previous positions, etc. Left us with about 11 resumes. I think it was 12, but one was kind of on the edge. Then from there, we got all of the candidates and they all received 5 questions, which was just a Q&A session and a test that they had to go and write, which was a complete script, which actually had to go and look on Google and do a couple of things. These tests are readily available online. So we went and took a couple of different questions. And the test was something that I knew that we needed. So we did the questions and tests online because we didn't have a lot of time to do it in-house, but preferably doing it in-house meant that they couldn't have had their friends help. After all that filtering from people who never responded or people who provided incorrect answers, we actually were only left with 4 people. So we had a lot of people who didn't respond and didn't interact. From there, jumped into face-to-face interview, booked interviews with them all, sent it all out. We did 1.5 hours face-to-face with all 4 candidates. And I always do a 90-minute interview. We called them, SMS'd them, and emailed them to outline the time so that they would never get lost in communication land. I had their resumes, test answers, and our interviewing questionnaires. So if you wanted something to work off, I would 100% suggest you just Google top grading interview questions. And that was what Adam was referring to. It is by far one of the best starting points to go on, get a heap of really top level interviewing questions. And I had it all printed out and sorted for the meetings. Did it in one day, back to back, huge 9-hour day. One of the interviewees started being himself after 45 minutes, started swearing and just using all these silly terms to try and sort of promote himself, which was just him as an individual, naturally got cut. The next interviewee had great answers to the first test. Within 30 minutes of interviewing him, we found out that it just was not this guy. He had it must have had his friends answer the questions for him because he just did not know enough about what he was meant to know that his test actually showed us that he knew. So we cut that interview really short. And then the last 2 interviewees were actually really high caliber. They were some just awesome people.
I think that's awesome because if you think about the dating world when you do that, it's like going on a date, right? So everyone does their makeup and turns up and they send their representative. They don't actually send themselves. But if you go on long enough or you go on enough dates, that real person is going to actually shine through. When we're in the recruiting process, we actually want to get to that person a lot quicker because they've got their guard up, they know what you're looking for, and they're going to act like somebody else. So I just find that whole process really fascinating. If you can get down to the part where they start swearing and talking about how they got drunk on the weekend, that's where you want to get to.
Yeah. And so I do it really laissez-faire. So I'm in a cafe. I deliberately slouch down. I put my arm over the back of the chair and I have a cup of coffee in my hand just like, look, it looks like a professional interview. Just relax, be yourself, and we'll just talk about you. And it just lowers everyone's guard just to this level that you just see who they are and what you're going to get in the next 3 to 6 months after they go through this interview and new hire facade.
Absolutely.
Part five is reviews and references. So it was obvious who the two candidates that we're going to follow up with were. Called all of their references immediately. In our interviewing, we actually asked them to score their references of what they think that the reference would give them. And we go and see if it's a one-for-one match. From that, we then reviewed their questions to the test answers. We reviewed their interview results, etc. And it was quite obvious who our number one and our number two was going to be. Our final interview, we brought candidate one in for the final interview. We didn't even go candidate two. That was a backup. Once they're in the office, we did another 30-minute interview with another individual from the company just to make sure they were a perfect fit. Then we gave them a job offer and contract printed on the spot. I suggest this approach because it's just like the always be closing, right? I don't want anyone else to snap this individual up. I've spent a fortune trying to get them. I don't want them going home and thinking about it, which some of them will ask, and that's okay. But I want them to just get so excited, get in the moment, sign a contract, come in as soon as humanly possible, because I know that I want them. And it's probably the best closing technique that I've had that's converted some awesome employees.
Awesome. And what, as a business owner yourself, what involvement do you have through this whole process? Do you have people doing the filtering for you? Is it because you're in sort of startup mode with your project management company that you're willing to sit there and do it yourself? What's your actual involvement and how do you see yourself getting out of that down the track?
Yeah, so at the moment, everyone that we're bringing onto the project management team is critical team members, meaning that they're the top of the game and people are going to filter in below them. So I'm kind of setting the top of the pyramid up and then people get filtered below. So I'm actually currently hiring an individual who's going to be a lower level and I'm getting some of the other people involved. So for me, it was finalizing our process internally, which is almost 100% done. Where do we post? How do we post it? How do we promote it? What are the job interviews, questions, etc.? Now it's at that level. Anyone who's a lower level would just be someone else in the team doing it, which would probably be the team lead. It probably won't be a HR member. And then anyone who's a critical position, like a manager or a team lead, it will always have to come through me for the filtering stage. So not for the promotion, all filtering.
I think that's absolutely fantastic. And I do exactly the same thing. So if I've got a manager, I'll be a lot more involved in the process, as opposed to it's a low-level data entry person where I'll come in one day and just see a new person at a seat and someone's left and someone's taken over that role and I haven't even noticed. Be involved from the top down with your management team. And then once you do it, you can bring your managers in and show them how to do the interviews. If you've got 5 interviews in a day and they're all 1.5-hour interviews and you can pass it off to someone else, that's what we're talking about at More Time, More Profit.
That's exactly right, buddy.
So can you just give us a quick walkthrough and final summary of the 6 pillars to hiring star employees and we'll wrap this puppy up?
Would be my pleasure. So part one, what are the roles and responsibilities? So put out your job description, the role's goals, KPIs, etc. Part two is you got to do marketing for the role. Jump on Seek, Craigslist, listing websites, do paid advertising for Facebook, LinkedIn, do groups, look for a headhunter, get recruiting, do prospecting, anything. Part three is candidate filtering. So sort through all the resumes, throw out the ones you don't want, send applicants tests via email, both practical and short answer. And 2 weeks, try and filter it down to about 5 or so candidates. Step four is face-to-face interview. Always make it at least an hour and a half long. Longer means that you just filter out those interview facades and also get to know them as an individual and how they'll fit in your company. Part five is your review and reference. So we'll review all of the answers and actually try and call the references and see if they marry up and suggest that the individual is that good. And the final part is once we know who we're going to go for, it will be our final interview or the job offer where we conclude the final stages of the hiring and send the job offer to the individual either face-to-face or via email.
Excellent. And to download all these amazing examples, brilliant frameworks, and wrap up points from today's show, go to www.moretimemoreprofit.com/017 for episode 17.
That's right. Don't forget to download all of the points. We've covered off an absolute truckload, and I know Adam and I are talking really quick to cram it in. So go and get the worksheets, print off this framework because it's actually taken me probably 6 to 7 years to build this framework and get to where I am. And I know Adam's done exactly the same thing, which is why it's the killer framework.
Yeah, and we'll actually be continuing this conversation over at Facebook. Often after podcasts, we have a lot more questions for each other. So we just take it over to Facebook. We search for More Time, More Profit group there and come over and join in the conversation.
Thanks, everyone. Don't forget to jump onto iTunes, click subscribe, download our podcast, And if you'd like, give us a review. We love hearing your feedback.
That's it from us. We'll catch you the same bat time, same bat channel next week. It's bye for now.
Catch you later, guys.
You've just been listening to More Time, More Profit Podcast. For more info, check out moretimemoreprofit.com. Make sure to tune in at the same time next week for another dose of real-life business strategies.